We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, thank you very much for welcoming me here. I appreciate that. It is now 7 minutes past the hour of 7 a.m. at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Also, we're at 106.3WORD.com, at 101.5 FM in Anderson, and 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca. Those three have to share that frequency, but that's all right. They're good boys and girls, and they share well. Happy Memorial Day, such as it is. And not the day we had envisioned, but nonetheless, it's ours, and we'll use it. And some, of course, look upon this as what we used to always look upon things as being, and that is to say, it's the day before we go back to work, even though summer has sort of arrived. For others, of course, well, they're not going back to work anyway, I guess, for a little bit, although how much longer remains to be seen, remains to be seen. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Advantage talk line. 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. And we talked a moment ago about Barack Obama's plausible deniability of not knowing precisely what was going on during this entire use an unfortunate verb, trumped-up set of charges that have been leveled against our incumbent president. It's important that we know, and Lindsey Graham is wrong, in my view, in that regard. He should be calling, before these hearings that we've heard so much about, he should be calling the hearings, including Barack Obama. I'd like to know. And frankly, if I were Barack Obama, I think I'd be eager to talk. I mean, if I, in fact, my hands were clean. Not me. Nope, I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about it. If I were innocent, I would relish the opportunity to get in there before the Senate Judiciary Committee, raise my right hand, take that oath. Oh, and you notice the cameras are rolling? I'm sure Barack would manage not to become totally nonplussed at the presence of the cameras. He'd manage. Oh, yeah. No, I would have to think that he would welcome this if he's as innocent and above board as Susan Rice would have us believe. Why would he not be eager? Say, no, wait, Senator Graham, this is Barack Obama. I would very much like to testify if, in fact, he's so clean in all of this. Why not? One would think. But I haven't heard him say that. Haven't heard that particular desire expressed just yet. Which takes us, of course, to Joe Biden. What are the plausible deniabilities of a vice president in a circumstance like this? Well, it, of course, depends on the role of the vice president. A president has as a constituents everybody in the country. A vice president has as constituents one person, the president of the United States, who can entirely decide what is to be done with that vice president. Vice presidents in recent years have tended to get more duties. For one thing, the president's plate in this day and age is always more full, and so you need to farm out certain duties to your vice president, depending on what their strengths are. You take, for example, a person like Barack Obama, who in many ways was analogous to Jimmy Carter. Carter was a complete newcomer to Washington. Obama had been around. Not quite a full Senate term yet, but he'd been around a little bit. But in the case of Jimmy Carter, a total inside-the-beltway neophyte, he picked as a running mate Walter Mondale, who knew the Capitol inside and out. Former senator, had been many years one of the prominent leaders in Washington, helpful for a president who doesn't know his way around Washington, D.C. And so Barack Obama chose Joe Biden, one of the most senior members in the history of the Senate, in fact. And the thing of it is, when you choose vice presidents like Walter Mondale or Joe Biden, these are people who are counted on for their expertise. This is how you steer legislation through, Mr. President. This is how you deal with that committee chairman. I happen to know that person. I can get it past you. That's what these vice presidents were supposed to do. They weren't just ticket balancers. They were people who actually knew their way around the corridors of power. We've had a number of such, in fact, vice presidents of late tended to be in that category. Dick Cheney was largely in that category. Al Gore was that way to Bill Clinton, for Pete's sake. And to a certain extent, you could say Mike Pence is also more of an inside-the-beltway person for President Trump. Okay. How much plausible deniability does Joe Biden have now? Because, of course, Barack Obama does not have to run for public office. In fact, unless he runs for a lesser office, he can't run for the presidency. Joe Biden is the one who is going on the ballot. Still wrapping up the Democratic nomination, but he will, presumably, in the next few weeks. And then he'll be the nominee, presumably. And he'll be on the ballot come November. He's the one who's got to worry. How plausible is his deniability? I don't think very plausible, really. Because, let's face it, he was, to a certain extent, almost like a father figure. In fact, Joe Biden was old enough to be Barack Obama's father. 19 years, as I recall. Yeah, that's the age difference. So old enough, literally, to be his father. But in particular, as regards matters in Washington. And so, when you're talking about something like this, which involves politics, which, of course, the efforts to get Trump centered around, the whole national security thing was in and of itself just so much of an excuse. But even if you would assume that national security was a valid reason, well, again, if you're Barack Obama, you would turn to a Joe Biden. He'd been the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, for Pete's sake. Whether you consider it a political issue or you consider it a security issue, Barack Obama would have turned to his vice president, the person he picked because of his experience. Joe Biden doesn't have any plausible deniability. Presumably, he was, back in the day, more with it than he appears to be today. But which would be an interesting defense, wouldn't it? For Joe Biden or his team to say, for Joe Biden, I have plausible deniability. I was just as ditzy as vice president as I am as a candidate for president. You can't blame that on me. I'm not expecting that line of defense, I'll tell you. But that would be very funny, would it not? All right, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 714. Let's see. What makes you think the Obama officials will tell the truth to anyone? It would only be more lies and cover-ups. Well, to the extent that you can. But, of course, when you're under oath, you put your butt in a sling. You know, if I lie to you, well, okay, I'm a bad person. If I lie to you under oath in a courtroom, I can get in serious trouble. So I'm simply, it depends, of course, on how much the Judiciary Committee has in posing the questions. I don't say that they would want to tell the truth. No, I don't think they would want to. But when you're under oath, you sometimes may find yourself needing to tell the truth, whether you want to or not. Jimbo Fraterra at 106.3 WORD, now on 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, 101.5 FM in Anderson, and everywhere on the Radio.com app. It is now 7:15.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Is that what this is? This is the Terra Show. That's why I'm sitting here at this hour, which happens to be, incidentally, 7:21 on Monday, May the 25th, Memorial Day for this here year. Yeah, that must be why I am sitting here doing this yakety yak thing here. I believe it is. Terra's back tomorrow. Things return to normal, and except, of course, for the fact that it's not normal yet, but as normal as we're going to have for May of the year of 2020. Jimbo in for Terra today at the Ingalls Advantage talk line, if you'd like to chat about it, at 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 71307, 71307. Texter here, we had mentioned, what makes you think the Obama officials would tell the truth to anyone? It would only be more lies and cover-ups. Oath means nothing to them. Lie and stick to the story, everyone. Without indictments and jail time, they have no fear. Ah, but of course, how can they be sure that there won't be indictments or jail time? That's the key. I will agree with you, Texter. Aaron Ganation would be to lie, yes. But what if it appears that the Judiciary Committee in this case has the goods? What if some hotshot U.S. attorney does decide to bring charges? It's not exactly as though these people are filled with the quality of loyalty. I mean, look what Susan Rice is doing in that now unredacted memo of hers, in which she is saying regarding this entire conspiracy to get Trump and to get Michael Flynn in the process, Comey did it. That's what the memo is saying. Comey did it. Wasn't Barack. Wasn't me. No. Susan Rice. No, indeed. It was Comey. Comey did it. These are people who will rat out on each other in an instant if they think it is to their advantage. Now, the texter is correct in that if they really don't think they'll get caught, if they really think they can get away with it, they would lie. Yes, absolutely. They certainly would. However, how can you be sure? And if your attorney starts whispering in your ear, you know, it would be better to cooperate at this point because they've got you dead to rights and they will prosecute. Oh, these people would fold. These people would absolutely fold. Yes, they would fall apart like a cheap suit. That's the key. But the texter is correct in that they must have the genuine belief that, in fact, there's someone willing to pursue this. Now, I'm not sure what contempt of Congress before the Judiciary Committee would get you. But again, as I say, if you are entering into criminal behavior here and you convince these people that it would be wise of them to strike a deal, they'll strike a deal. They would sell out their own grandmother if they felt they needed to. They may not be inclined to cooperate, but they do it. All right. 7:24 now at 106.3 WORD. Texter says, Jimbo, I have a question scenario about Biden's VP nomination. I know he said he's going to pick a woman VP. However, since he's a Democrat, that doesn't hold much water. What if Biden picked Barack as VP and the country loses their minds and votes Biden in? Then after the inauguration, he chooses to step down since he's served two full terms. Am I correct in thinking that Obama could serve a two-year term at the max, then there would have to be another election, or is Obama not allowed to? Well, the second part is correct. He's not allowed to. One of the qualifications for being vice president is that you must be qualified to be president. And most of us are, as natural-born citizens, a resident of the U.S. for whatever it is, 14 years or what have you, 35 years of age. However, there are currently three Americans who would meet all of those requirements who are not eligible to be vice president. And they are Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, because they've been already president for two terms. Jimmy Carter legally could serve a term. He could be elected as vice president, but he can only serve one term as president. Nobody's going to do that, obviously, but he would be so qualified to do so. But no, the short answer is Barack Obama could not be selected as a running mate, constitutionally ineligible. Michelle, of course, another issue entirely. She could obviously be selected, which I guess in Biden world would be considered almost as good, presumably. But anyway, no, Barack Obama, nor Bill Clinton, nor George W. Bush could be selected as a vice presidential running mate because they're ineligible to be president. They've already served two terms, and that's all that that you are allowed. Anyway, to the case at hand here. Yes, I am not at all falling into any kind of a Pollyanna viewpoint here. The notion that that people in the Obama administration would tell the truth under oath because this is the right thing to do. It's the American thing to do. No, I don't buy into that. I buy into the notion that they will do what is necessary to cover their own butts. Now, they might well decide, hey, I can lie. Nobody else has gotten in trouble. Look at Lois Lerner. She's still sitting out there free. Maybe. But if you convince them that this time it would be different, how do you do that? Well, it has to be a first time, of course, for everybody. And at some point, somebody would have to make it clear, yes, we are prepared to actually go after people who broke the law. We don't care how much, well, prestige, I suppose, for want of any other term, how much prestige they may carry. We'll go after them. Unless these people are convinced of that, yeah, it's quite possible they might... They might lie under oath. It's possible. But again, the one thing to keep in mind is no loyalty. No loyalty. I mean, Susan Rice filing a memo on the day she left office as Attorney General. The day that Donald Trump was sworn in, she wrote a memo to the file. What file? The file she's, what, taking home? I don't think attorneys general get libraries like presidents do. What file? You're leaving your job. There's only one reason why you write a memo to file, and that is to cover your backside. Or in this case, to cover Barack Obama's backside. Comey did it. Comey did it. Believe me, if they are convinced that in order to keep themselves out of jail, they have to tear somebody else down, to drag somebody else down, they'll do it. But they've got to be so convinced. So the texter is correct in that regard. I would hope that somewhere there is a U.S. attorney who will be willing to drive that point home. I would hope so. And I haven't seen it yet. I would agree with you on that much. The texter sounds a little cynical, and the texter has reason to sound cynical. How we ever let Lois Lerner scot-free... Texter says here, Jim, did you say Lois Lerner or Lois Leaner or Lois Leaner? Paul in Greenville. Well, I didn't say Lois Lerner. Maybe her full name is Lois Slow Lerner. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. We'll continue our discussion. We will get into some of the big issues that divide this country in the next half hour. I'm not talking politics here. No, my friends. No, I'm talking ketchup or mustard. It's Memorial Day. And this decision must be made. Jim Bohannon for Terra at 106.3 WORD. The time now, 7:29. And good morning, all. Pleasure to have you with us today, 24 before 8 o'clock at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Glad to have you with us this morning. Another texter on the subject of whether or not any in the Obama administration would crack if pressure was placed on them. Don't forget that they enjoy a complicit mass media for cover and obfuscation, Greg and Greer. They enjoy that, yes, that's true. However, if in fact it becomes clear to them, big ifs here, but if it becomes clear to them that a U.S. attorney has the goods that can show, among other things, perhaps that they lied under oath, that they illegally targeted someone, they'll crack. That's all I'm saying. But they've got to be convinced that somebody has the guts to go ahead. Again, Lois Lerner stands out as a prime example of the opposite. So at some point, somebody's going to have to go down. Once that happens, and the willingness on the part of the administration to pursue this is shown, then they would knuckle under. Not until then. And, of course, that all is dependent on the reelection of Donald Trump. Obviously, a President Joe Biden is not going to be leading an effort to go after the Obama-Biden administration, as he loves to put it. So that's where we stand in that regard. By the way, if you missed this, the White House has broadened the travel ban against countries hard hit by the coronavirus that had already taken place on travel from Britain, the rest of Europe, and China. And now that it extends to foreigners who have been in Brazil during the two-week period before they hope to enter the U.S. As of this Thursday, that travel ban exists on travel from Brazil by foreigners to this country if they had been in Brazil during the 2 weeks prior to the time they had hoped to enter the U.S. That takes effect again this coming Thursday. So a smart move. Brazil has now, in fact, moved to the second place in the number of cases of the COVID-19 virus, ahead of Russia, still way behind the United States in that regard. So back to exactly what the FBI did in regard to Michael Flynn. His identity was never masked. Therefore, there was no need to unmask him. He was not masked because the FBI framed him as a clandestine agent of Moscow. FBI officials, if they thought about it at all, figured Flynn need not be masked because they did not see him as an innocent American incidentally caught up in foreign surveillance. No, they purported to suspect he was a clandestine agent of Russia. And so the FISA surveillance rules that require someone's identity to be masked did not apply to him. Andrew McCabe's excuse that the Obama administration sought out intelligence after Vladimir Putin signaled Russia would not retaliate against this country is a farce. McCabe had said that the Obama administration wanted more intelligence after Vladimir Putin received word of comparatively mild sanctions from the Obama administration, and Putin said, well, we're not going to retaliate. And McCabe's excuse is rather lame. The story makes no sense. The Obama administration, with 3 weeks left in office, and after 8 years of rolling over and playing dead in the face of Kremlin lies and provocations, was suddenly, at the end of their administration, so puzzled by Putin's no-retaliation announcement and so worried about its possible national security implications that the White House felt compelled to investigate aggressively? Oh, come on. No rational person would have assumed just because Putin said Russia would not retaliate that it would not make mischief at some opportune time. Really? The Obama administration wanted to continue investigating the Trump-Russia connection and knew that Flynn and the Ambassador Kislyak discussing the sanctions would help them get a FISA warrant. When Trump officials claimed the two had never talked about sanctions during the call, it made Flynn look guilty because he had in fact discussed them. But again, that was still not wrongdoing in that, of course, a new incoming National Security Administration will talk about all kinds of things, especially Kislyak. Sergei Kislyak was a real partier on the D.C. party circuit. Everybody talked to him. If you went to a cocktail party in Georgetown, you wound up talking to him. He made it a point to talk to everybody. So, the McCabe story makes no sense whatsoever. And it shows, I think, that without a question, the FBI was trying to frame Michael Flynn. And, of course, once you're in for a penny in for a pound, as the old expression goes, once you're trying to get Flynn, then you get him any way you can. Remember that famous memo about they discussed the options. Do we want to get Flynn prosecuted or do we want to get Flynn fired? Like, these were choices, tactics. It wasn't as if we wouldn't think of trying to get him fired. That's not fair. We wouldn't think of getting him prosecuted unless we think he's guilty. No, it was a choice. We want to get rid of Flynn. Which did we pick? Like, you know, do I want to beat up Flynn or do I want to beat up his wife? I mean, this kind of thing. I mean, it was a totally amoral and illegal activity, but they weren't the least bit concerned with anything approaching justice or anything approaching the rule of law. They just wanted to get Flynn, and they've done a pretty good job of it so far, especially now with this judge who Emmett Sullivan, who is refusing to drop the case, even though the Justice Department has said we're not pursuing it anymore, and the judge who wants to be both the prosecutor and the judge will not buy into that. So everything that could unravel depends on those who did wrong believing they could get caught and held accountable. And I'll admit that I agree with the texter that at this point I don't know why they would necessarily. Someone has got to drive home the fact and make it clear that, in fact, yes, this time there really is somebody in the White House who, in fact, and in the U.S. Attorney's Office, in places like Southern Connecticut, where U.S. Attorney Durham holds sway, that they will, in fact, go after you. At that point, again, if they think that their own butts are on the line, yeah, they will fold, but not until then. And I concur with the points already made by the texter. Anyway, it's just remarkable. The more we learn, the more we realize how upfront these people were, at least in private emails or what they thought were private emails, how upfront they were about just, quote, getting Flynn any way they could. Do we get him by prosecution? Do we force him out of his job? It didn't matter. The point was getting him. And you were using government power to get him. That's illegal. Now, we've got to convince these clowns that somebody in authority knows it's illegal. You know, the longer this entire pandemic continues, the harder it'll be to return to a society where pants and bras are required. I'm just saying. All right, Jimbo in for Tara here at 106.3 WORD, now on 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, 101.5 FM in Anderson, and all over every place in the radio.com app. Time now is 15 before 8. And it is 9 minutes now before 8 o'clock at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, wherein we have the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. And, of course, this is the weekend of the Indianapolis 500. Wrong answer. Yeah, it should have been run yesterday, of course. That's now going to be run August the 23rd, the Indy 500. The Triple Crown of horse racing. It's in all the wrong order. Here's the Triple Crown of horse racing this year. It leads off with the Belmont Stakes on June the 20th. Then there's a big wait until September the 5th when the Kentucky Derby will be run as the middle leg of this year's Triple Crown. And then the Preakness, which will wrap things up this year on October the 3rd. Again, Belmont Stakes, June 20th, Kentucky Derby, September 5th, Preakness, October 3rd. Unless, of course, they change that again. But we are, of course, we did see the return of NASCAR, albeit without fans in the stands, at the Charlotte 600 that took place yesterday. So we were seeing some return to normalcy. It was an interesting golf match that they played, that little charity thing, raising money for first responders. Great idea, and the participants were certainly interesting. You had one team of Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against the other team of Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. And it was a fun match to watch. Brady was pretty much messing things up for his team until he finally got an eagle on a par five with a brilliant shot that went in. And then he's bending over to pick up the ball from the cup and splits his pants, as he put it. My pants wanted to get into the social distancing thing. But anyway, sports seems to be coming back to a certain extent. I'm not sure how far this can go. Sports teams, and of course they've got horrendous payrolls, I mean, these big stars make a lot of money, they have three revenue streams, essentially. You've got ticket sales, which are now out. You've got concession sales, which are now out. And then you've got broadcasting rights. And trust me, they hold up broadcasters for an arm and a leg on this. That's why occasionally you will see a long time carrier of a given team say, no more, forget it. They want too much. See, broadcasting is not a hobby. It's not at this level. It is a business. And if, in fact, you've got a very popular sport, but let's say that, just to make up the numbers here, let's say that you can make $100 off of carrying that team, but they want you to pay them $120 in broadcasting rights. You're not going to go very deep into that as a loss leader. At some point, they simply stop offering coverage. So the question for the teams is, or for NASCAR, baseball, football, basketball, NASCAR, horse racing, anything like this. The question is, can I make enough money off of just broadcast coverage, radio and TV, to make it worth my while with no ticket sales and no concession sales? Concessions, you know, the beer and the hot dogs and the Cokes and the rest of that's a lot of money for these teams. No ticket sales, no concessions. Is it worth it? Now, it's certainly worth it, let's say, for a NASCAR to say, hey, we're back, even if they are losing money. And I don't know the numbers. I don't know if, in fact, they make money just off of broadcasting rights. My guess is not, but I don't know. But they might lose a little bit just to say, hey, we're back, but they're not going to go through a whole NASCAR season losing money. That's my point. So, again, I'm glad to see golf in any form back, and I'm not a great follower of golf on TV, but Tom Brady ripping his pants doesn't happen every day. And NASCAR, it's good to see NASCAR back, although the e-NASCAR races were kind of fun to watch. They really were. But and if baseball, in fact, can resurrect their season, I'm not sure what the NBA can do at this stage of the game. It's almost June and time for the finals anyway. My guess is that the NBA is done for the year. But football, of course, obviously the NFL just thinking about getting warmed up. It'll be interesting to see them, but if, in fact, they have to play before empty stadiums or empty arenas, I don't know if that's financially viable for these teams. And I also don't know this. I don't know if, in fact, that the public's going to respond. I really don't. I mean, it's just a serious question. I just don't know if, in fact, this is going to work out. Anyway. You know, I'm hearing music, which I are we seriously breaking at 56? Really? Oh, well, the things that I didn't know. All right, that always helps to know. Jimbo for Terra, and pausing now at 4 minutes now before 8 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.